Well, today is the last day, Sunday of 2015. We all enjoyed Christmas. Let me ask all the kids in the room, did you enjoy Christmas?
Yeah.
You can be louder than that. Did you enjoy Christmas?
Yeah.
Okay, well, good. Well, we enjoyed Christmas on Friday, as is our custom. All six of the Colliers got together, including my mom, and all six of us are here today. So, amen. I spent approximately 5 hours a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away watching episodes 6 and 7. It wasn't planned that way, but that's how it worked out. So I'm a little disoriented today trying to come back to this galaxy in this time. So you'll forgive me. Let's pray. Dear God, our Father who is in heaven, Father, we honor you and praise you. Hallowed be your name. God, we pray for your kingdom. We pray for your kingdom here in this room. We pray for your kingdom around the world. We pray for your kingdom to come more and more in our lives and the lives of people around us. We pray for your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help me to do your will as I deliver this message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, Gary's Joshua class that we enjoyed for several months, and John's sold-out sermon series, which we had several weeks, they both emphasize a verse in Joshua. You don't have to turn there, but Joshua 3:5 says, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." And I think that verse that Gary and John emphasized for us gave us a great challenge to prepare for the new year, to be ready to participate fully in the great things that God will do among us in 2016. Amen?
Amen?
But looking forward to the new year is for next week and the weeks to come in January. As I said, today is the last Sunday of 2015, and I would like to look back at this year today. I know we had trials and difficulties, many of us and us as a congregation in 2015, but I wanted to focus today on the good things that happened in 2015.
Amen.
And how God blessed us. Amen? To remind us of how God worked this year and laid the foundation for even better things to come next year. Okay. Everyone who was baptized or restored to the Lord in 2015, please stand up. And keep standing. You can stand up. Okay. Keep standing for a moment. Now, think about these brothers and sisters, okay? Their eternal destinies were changed this year. Their eternal destinies. They entered or were restored to the kingdom of God, and they will now be with us and the Lord forever in eternity. Amen? It's a big deal. That's terrific news for each one of these folks who are standing up. It's terrific news for their families, for their friends, the co-workers that they're already influencing, and they will influence for years to come. Time for a pinky promise. Okay, everyone's standing. You got to do a pinky promise with me. Let's promise we will make it to the end and see each other in heaven one day. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, y'all can sit down. Amen. Now I want to focus on another group. Everyone in the church here who took on a new leadership role in 2015, please stand up. If you were added to the ministry staff, either full-time or as an intern, if you were appointed a deacon or the wife of a deacon, if you were individually or a married couple became a family group leader or a Bible talk leader, or you took on any other responsibility this year for a group or ministry in our church, please stand up. Don't be shy. Amen. Keep standing. Now, this is how the kingdom of God grows stronger and God's will is done on earth as it is in heaven. As people step up, rise to the occasion, say, here am I, send me, and help do the work of the Lord. I love each and every one of you that are standing. I appreciate your service. I appreciate your willingness to do this year. It encourages, it inspires me, and God will bless you for what you've done this year and will continue to do in the future. Thank you. Y'all can be seated too. So what else happened in 2015? We could go on and on. We hired 3 ministry couples. The Yangs, they were standing just now. They've been on board now for more than 6 months. The Kings will be here this week, maybe even tomorrow, I heard. And the McKenyas will start soon. The Department of Homeland Security, and God willing. I think God has blessed us tremendously with these 3 couples and the work they will do for the Lord and in His church here in 2016 and beyond will be tremendous. Amen?
Amen.
Many other good things happened this year. Back in the spring, we had people graduate high school or college. We've had people find jobs this year. We've had people find girlfriend or boyfriends this year. We've had people get engaged this year. We've had people get married this year. We've had children born. We've had grandchildren born. You know, lots of good things happened this year. And I can't go through it all and have everybody stand up. But lots of good things happened this year. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. What was our theme for 2015? Okay, good. Y'all remembered? There's my PowerPoint for the day up there. The brothers helped me remind me this morning that I needed one. The kingdom of God, and we all prayed like I did this morning for His kingdom to come and His will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And I think we've just seen how God answered this prayer in 2015. We've seen people added to His kingdom. The lives and eternal destinies of people in this room were changed. We've seen new leaders step up, take on new responsibility to help God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we had a Bible class this year on the kingdom of God that lasted about 6 months from January into July. I think that's the longest Bible class we've ever had. I don't know if we'll ever have one that long again. But we learned some great things about God's kingdom this year. I know I did. And so I thought for the next couple of hours we'd go back over all that. I can't possibly summarize what we learned this year in the kingdom of God in the time I have left today, but I will hit a couple of high points to remind us of what we learned about the kingdom of God this year. Matthew 5, starting in verse 2. And Jesus opened His mouth and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus teaches us the basic principles of Christian life. He teaches us how we should live in the kingdom of God, what kingdom people should be like. He paints a picture for us. In these first few verses I just read, the Beatitudes, He lays the foundation for the kind of heart that we should have to be in the kingdom of God. The kind of heart, the kind of people we should be on the inside. He says we should be poor in spirit. We should be humble. We should recognize our spiritual poverty, our need for God, our need for Jesus. That's the first thing He says. The first thing He taught was we should be poor in spirit. That's hard for me to be. It's hard for me to be humble. But that's, he says, if we are that way, we will receive the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. That's how we receive the promise of the kingdom of heaven. It's when we are poor in spirit, when we are humble, when we recognize our need for God, our need for Him in our lives, our need for Him to help us. Talks about mourning. Mourning over our sin. Mourning over the sad condition of the world that we can see every day if we read the news. Mourning when loved ones die and we lose them, and it reminds us of our own mortality. Jesus says here, and it's hard to understand, that we're blessed when those things happen because we will receive comfort. We will receive comfort from God, comfort from His Word, comfort as we turn to Him for help in those difficult times when we're mourning. Comfort from other people that will help us, that will encourage us, who've been, maybe been through the same thing and want to help us. That's what Jesus promises us here, that if we're mournful people, we're people who recognize the seriousness of life and the decisions of life, and when we make mistakes, when we sin, we are sad for that. We want to repent, we want to turn, we want to change from that. We're mourning over that in our lives and the lives of other people around us. That's when he says that we will be comforted. We will find the help that we need. Amen? Amen. He says, blessed are those who are meek. And again, he's talking about humility. Meekness. Being submitted to God's will. Being surrendered to God's will. Like John was talking about in the communion that Jesus did. He surrendered himself to God's will. He said, not my will, but your will to God. That's what meek is. Where we are under control. We are not out of control. We're not, you know, just following our desires and our passions and our emotions. But we are under control and letting God lead us, letting God guide us. We are meek. We are surrendered. He says when we do that, we inherit the earth. We receive God's blessings. He can give us things. He can bless our lives. He can answer our prayers when we are meek, when we're surrendered, when we're listening to Him, when we're humble. That's when He can work. That's when we can inherit things. We can inherit the blessings of being children of God. It's when we were that way. Amen? It says when we are blessed when we hunger and thirst for righteousness. When we want to be like Jesus. When we want to do the right thing. When we want to overcome our sin and become godly people. Become more righteous than we are today. We want to put the good things in our lives, the good qualities that we see in Jesus, that we see taught in the Bible. When we hunger and thirst for those things, when we're eager, we really want them. We're hungering, we're thirsting for them, like food or drink. He says, when we do that, then we will be satisfied. We will be filled. He will give us those things. God will help us become that way. When we want it, when we're hungering and thirsting for it, when we're asking Him for it, He will give us righteousness. He will fill us. He will satisfy that desire of our hearts. Amen? Amen. He says, blessed are the merciful. When you're merciful, when you are forgiving towards other people, When we recognize that we're all sinners and we extend grace to each other, we give each other the benefit of the doubt, or we put up with each other when we make mistakes, when we say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, or when we're insensitive, when we're merciful. Jesus says, when we do that, then we can receive mercy. You know, God extends mercy and forgiveness to us when we are merciful to other people. It's what it says in the Lord's Prayer, right? Father, forgive them. Forgive me as I've forgiven them. Forgive us as we forgive our debtors. That's what we're praying. We're praying that we can forgive people so we can be forgiven. Jesus says that's how it works. You know, when we're merciful, we receive mercy. That's a great promise. I need mercy. I need forgiveness. I need grace in my life. I mean, it's hard for me to extend that to other people. That's not natural for me. I want to hold people to the standard, and hold people to the line, hold people accountable. That's my natural self. But I need to be merciful, like Jesus is talking about here, so I can receive mercy. Not vengeful, not bitter, you know, not holding things, but forgiving. Like Jesus did. Next he says, blessed are the pure in heart. The pure in heart. People who are the same on the inside that they are on the outside. You know, people of integrity. People who have good motives. People who are honest, who aren't scheming or, you know, saying things they don't mean or being deceitful. Pure in heart, not polluted with other things that we might corrupt our hearts with. Pure in heart. He says when we do that, when we are that way, we will see God. That's a tremendous promise. We will see God one day. If we aim to have a pure heart, we aim to get the junk out of our hearts and purify it, as the Bible calls us to. And then one day we can see God, see Him face to face. That's a great promise from Jesus. Everybody's real quiet in here. And all I'm doing is reading the words of Jesus and then saying them over again. You know, this is powerful stuff, isn't it? This is powerful stuff, but there are great promises in here. Great promises that if we strive to be this way, you know, there are great promises here that we're going to see God. Actually, I left one out, didn't I? It says, blessed are the peacemakers, people who make peace, people who try to resolve conflict with other people, people who try to resolve conflict between people and God. And reconcile people with God. Make peace between people and God. People who strive for peace, who work for peace, who want there to be peace. Jesus says those people will be called the sons of God. Sons and daughters of God. If those are the kind of people that we are. Amen. Well, these are great, great promises and great things to be. And this is what the kingdom of God is. He says at the end, blessed are the persecuted, and we won't dwell on that, but he sums it up by saying, theirs is the kingdom of God. It's where he started and where he ends, the Beatitudes. He's painting a picture of what someone should be like in the kingdom of God, the kind of heart we should have. And it's a high calling. It's a high standard. We'll see that again in a minute. Now, what happens? What happens when we are striving to be this way? What happens as we have these qualities more and more? Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has lost its taste, how shall its saltiness be restored? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown and trampled under people's feet. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is the result when we start living out the Beatitudes, when we start putting them into our lives and into our hearts. Then we are, as Jesus says here, the salt of the earth. You know, you hear that phrase, the salt of the earth. Jesus, you know, we fight sin in our own lives. You know, we are fighting sin in our own lives. We are trying to keep sin out. We fight sin in the lives of other people. You know, we teach our children not to sin and try to help them as they grow up. We teach other people. We share our faith. We teach other people to repent of sin. We show them from the Bible what sin is, and we call them to repent. All these things are like salt. They're preserving people from the effects of sin. Preserving us, preserving our families. We help each other. We help each other not to sin or to repent of sin. All of these things, we're acting like salt in the world. Salt, which preserves things. That's what we do. We're trying to limit the influence of sin in the world. And that's what happens when we are following Jesus. We are the salt of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus says. We set a good example in our home. We set a good example in our community, at school, on the job. Not 100% of the time, but that's what we're aiming to do as disciples. We are trying to set a good example, and people notice. And that limits, again, it's limiting the influence of sin. It's limiting the influence of sin around us. We are the salt of the earth. Jesus says we are the light of the world. A lamp shining in a dark room. We know from God's word the right way to live. We know from God's word the Beatitudes that we just read and the rest of the Sermon on the Mount. We know we're the light of the world. We have the answers to show people. And we try to show people. We share our faith. We offer to study the Bible with people. We show them from the Scriptures. We're trying to show people this is what God has to say. This is how God wants us to live. You know, we are the light of the world. In our own lives, as we try to do that, we're setting that example. We're a shining light to people that they can see it. They go, wow, look at that. Look at you. Look how your family is. Look how your marriage is. Look how your children are. Look how your relationship with your friends are. They can see it. They can see in you God at work. We help people clearly see the path to a relationship with God. You know, this world is a very dark place. A very dark place, and people don't know what the answer is. You know, people have more information than they've ever had. You know, I could pull out my brand new iPhone right now, and I could, you know, Google anything and find out anything. But people have all this information, but they don't know what to do with it. They don't know how to live. It's a dark world. There's sin. There's evil. There's bad influences, bad motives on our own hearts, and people don't know what to do. But we have the answers. You know, the Bible has the answers. Jesus has the answers. And we are the light of the world. We can help people find their way to God, find the right path, the right way to live in their lives, the right decisions to make, so that their lives will be blessed, as Jesus talked about. Amen?
Amen.
We are a city set on a hill. That's what Jesus says right here. We are a city set on a hill. We are a community that loves each other. Now, we're not perfect. We fall short. But Jesus shows us how to love and forgive each other and be merciful, like we talked about, like he talked about. And we serve each other. We just talked about some of the new leaders we have here, the people that were baptized or restored this year. Lots of people spent time studying with them and helping them make those decisions. You know, we serve each other in many, many different ways. We celebrated that a couple of weeks ago on a midweek. We celebrated everyone who serves. We're a city set on a hill. We are an example of a community of the kingdom of God, a little, you know, outpost of the kingdom of God here in Gwinnett that other people can see, that other people can be drawn to and go, man, I want to be a part of that city. Look at that city over there. That's a city I want to join. That's a city I want to be a citizen of. You know, a city that's on a hill. You can see a long way. You can see all the way to eternity from the city on the hill. This is Jesus' vision for us. He is encouraging us. This is not some impossible dream. This is who Jesus says we are. The light of the world. The salt of the earth. The city set on a hill. The people of the kingdom of God. People who decided Jesus was going to be Lord, who follow him, who aim to be like him, who try to live out his commands. You know, we're not perfect, but he's making us, God is making us more like Jesus every day as we follow him. He's working on us. He's working. It takes a long time. Trust me, if you're younger than me, it takes a long time. Still more to go. It takes a while, but that's what God is doing. We are the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are the city set on a hill. We are part of the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Matthew, we'll keep reading in verse 17. Do not think I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments and teaches others to do the same will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. When Jesus came and established his kingdom, and as he's teaching here in the Sermon on the Mount, he did not come to lower the standard. He came to raise the standard. And that's scary. You know, every time I read the Sermon on the Mount, it's kind of scary to me that Jesus came to raise the standard. His kingdom is not about just being religious. You know, it's not just about being outwardly religious. That's what the Pharisees are. That's what he's talking about here, the Pharisees and the scribes. They were very focused on, you know, just legalistic obedience of the rules. That's what they were focused on, being outwardly righteous. But that's not looking, and they looked down on sinners. They looked down on people who weren't that way. You know, they were going to follow the rules, and what was wrong with you if you didn't? But that's not what Jesus was talking about. His kingdom is something far greater than that. He wanted a kingdom of people who were righteous on the outside and the inside. And that's what we've been talking about in the Beatitudes. He wanted people who were also trying to be like him on the inside, in their hearts, in their motives, in their desires, that they were trying to be like Jesus on the inside as well as on the outside. And that's what a lot of the rest of chapter 5 is about. Yes, in the kingdom of God, we obey the command, do not murder. Oh, I hope we obey the command, do not murder. But we also fight anger in our hearts. We deal with anger in our hearts. We resolve conflict with our brothers and sisters so we can be united, so we can be free from bitterness. The kingdom of God is, yes, where we obey the command not to commit adultery, but we also fight lust in our hearts. We fight lust, which is so prevalent in our society today. We get rid of pornography, all forms of sexual immorality. We fight these. We want to put them aside. We want to get them out of our lives and help each other keep them out of our lives. That's what we do, not just the outward compliance, but trying to be righteous inward too. We want, we want justice. We want justice in society. We want evildoers to be punished. But we are people who don't retaliate when people harm us. That's one of the hardest scriptures in the Bible, but that's what Jesus says just a few verses down. He says we shouldn't retaliate when people are trying to harm us. We should love and pray for our enemies. Again, a very hard standard that Jesus holds up. We should love and pray for our enemies. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. And that's what he calls us to do, to be like him, to be like Jesus. And that's a very high standard. But again, this isn't impossible. This is something we can do. We need God's help. We need his grace. We need his mercy. But it's something we can do because we have the Holy Spirit to help us. We have God's word. We have a community here to help us do this. And we can be the people that Jesus wants us to be. Amen? Amen. Turn to Revelation 19, and we'll close out there. One day, we will be ushered into the eternal kingdom of God. the glory of the eternal kingdom of God that far outweighs any hardship or difficulty or trial that we face here. It is so worth it to persevere to the end. Never quit or give up on God and His kingdom, no matter what happens. Verse 6 of Revelation 19. Then I heard what seemed to be the voice of a great multitude, like the roar of many waters, and the sound of mighty peals of thunder, crying out, "Hallelujah! For the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints." And the angel said to me, "Write this: Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true words of God." The eternal kingdom of God, it says, will be a great multitude. Lots of people will be there. And God himself will be reigning over it. The Lord God Almighty will be the king. He will be reigning there. We will see him on his throne. Talks about thunder. It will be an awesome sight to see God, the king, reigning on his throne. And it says we will rejoice. We will give him the glory. We will praise him. You know, we're just practicing here when we praise and sing to God. We're just practicing. It's going to be an amazing time. There will be thousands of angels there doing it with us. We will be praising him. And it says, we, God's people, his kingdom, his saints, will be the bride of Christ. We will be there to be his bride, to be with him forever. It says we will be clothed with fine linen, the righteous deeds that we have done in this life as we aim to be like Jesus and let our light shine. You know, the very things we've been talking about earlier in the message from Matthew 5. As we're trying to do those things, as we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth, as we are trying to put into practice what Jesus calls us to be and follow him and let him be our Lord. Those righteous deeds, that's the fine linen that we will be clothed with. It says, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb, who celebrate entry into the eternal kingdom of God on his wedding day. And it says there'll be a great feast there. I like that part. Brothers and sisters, this is us. You know, we are invited. If we repented of our sins, made Jesus Lord, we were baptized into his death, burial, and resurrection, our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And we are the ones he's talking about here. And everyone else who's done that in the world and in history and in the future, we're all invited. We're all a part of this wedding supper that's going to come, and we can be with God forever and ever. Amen? Amen. 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 Let's pray. Dear God, our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Father, we pray for your eternal kingdom to come. We pray for this day, for the wedding supper of the Lamb. Father, we look forward to it. Father, we want to be there one day. We want as many people as possible to come with us. Father, we look forward to that. And in the meantime, Father, we pray your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will would be done in our lives. Your will would be done in our church. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Just want to give Steve a an applause for that message, for sharing the Beatitudes with us. At this point, this concludes our service, so if you would join me in prayer, please. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for today. Thank you, Father, for this year. I pray, Father, that some of us, God, have had a great year. Looking back, some of us, Father, maybe not so great. The good thing, Father, is we always have next year. And I pray, Father, that we look forward to 2016. Pray, Father, that we encourage each other daily, Father, while we have the opportunity to do that. Uplift each other. Pray for the congregation that we become closer. Pray, Father, that we do not buy into discrimination, Father, that we overcome that. We're able to push through, encourage each other. Thank you for our families. Thank you for our friendships, for our relationships, all the resources that you put here, Father, for us to overcome and to get to heaven. We're grateful. Thank you for this day. Help us share with each other and encourage each other and give each other great news. We love you, God. Love your son. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.